The chapter ends by Poul Anderson, part 1. "No," said the old man. "But you don't realize what it means," said Joran. "You don't know what you're saying." The old man, Kormt of Hoerdar, Gerlaug's son and speaker for Solus Township, shook his head till the long, grizzled locks swirled around his wide shoulders. "I have thought it through," he said. His voice was deep and slow and implacable. "You gave me 5 years to think about it, and my answer is no." Joran felt a weariness rise within him. It had been like this for days now, weeks, and it was still like trying to knock down a mountain. You beat on its rocky flanks till your hands were bloody, and still the mountain stood there, sunlight on its high snow fields and in the forests that rustled up its slopes, and it did not really notice you. You were a thin, brief buzz between two long nights, but the mountain was forever. "You haven't thought at all," he said with a rudeness born of exhaustion. "You've only reacted unthinkingly to a dead symbol. It's not a human reaction, even. It's a verbal reflex." Kormt's eyes, meshed in crow feet, were serene and steady under the thick gray brows. He smiled a little in his long beard, but made no other reply. Had he simply let the insult glide off him? Or had he not understood it at all? There was no real talking to these peasants. Too many millennia lay between, and you couldn't shout across that gulf. "Well," said Joran, "the ships will be here tomorrow, or the next day, and it'll take another day or so to get your people aboard. You'll have that long to decide, but after that, it'll be too late. Think about it, I beg of you. As for me, I'll be too busy to argue further." "You are a good man," said Kormt, "and a wise one in your fashion. But you are blind. There is something dead inside you." He waved one huge, gnarled hand. "Look around you, Joran of Phulcus. This is Earth. This is the old home of all humankind. You cannot go off and forget it. Man cannot do so. It is in him, in his blood and bones and bones and soul. He will carry Earth within him forever." Joran's eyes traveled across the arc of the hand. He stood on the edge of the town. Beneath him were its houses, low, white, half-timbered, roofed with thatch or red tile, smoke rising from the chimneys. Carved galleries overhung the narrow, cobbled, crazily twisting streets. He heard the noise of wheels and wooden clogs, the shouts of children at play. Beyond that were trees and the incredible ruined walls of Saul City. In front of him, the wooded hills were cleared, and a gentle landscape of neat fields and orchards rolled down toward the distant glitter of the sea. Scattered farm buildings, drowsy cattle, winding gravel roads, fence walls of ancient marble and granite, all dreaming under the sun. He drew a deep breath. It was pungent in his nostrils. It smelled of leaf mold, plowed earth baking in the warmth, summery trees and gardens, a remote ocean odor of salt and kelp and fish. He thought that no two planets ever had quite the same smell, and that none was as rich as Terra's. "This is a fair world," he said slowly. "It is the only one," said Kormt. "Man came from here, and to this in the end he must return." "I wonder," Joran sighed, "take me. Not one atom of my body was from this soil before I landed. My people lived on Phulcus for ages and changed to meet its conditions. They would not be happy on Terra." "The atoms are nothing," said Kormt. "It is the form which matters, and that was given to you by Earth." Joran studied him for a moment. Kormt was like most of this planet's